there's days I still can't believe I'm a preacher. And I'm up here preaching. This morning is kind of one of those times that just kind of hit me again. Here we go. Welcome, everyone, to the service here this morning. It's good to be in the house of God. We had a good discussion in our Sunday school. I hope you did. Also was blessed by the devotions and thinking of how God leads. And I think if we were all honest, at some point in our life, probably every single one of us has been in a place where we didn't know where to go. We didn't know which way to turn. It felt like there were obstacles front and back, like we heard this morning. And yet God does lead. We might not have a pillar of fire like Paul was talking about, but God does lead us today. He leads us as individuals, and he leads us as a church. I'm thankful for that. Also, thanks to those of you who made church camping possible, Micah's and Alex's, for planning that. I really enjoyed that. I think it's very healthy, very good for us as a church to relate to one another like that, to leave our jobs, to leave our responsibilities, and just spend time building relationships. And so I enjoyed that, and I appreciate y'all for that. All right, I'd like to just do a little bit of a review of last sermon, maybe just a couple of clarifications. The title of the sermon last time I preached was Intentional Financial Giving. And I had someone ask me, well, what about saving up for a vehicle? What about that? And I guess that wasn't really where I was. I guess the heart of the message that I preached the last time was for us to be generous, and especially those of us who maybe we have our place paid off, maybe we have had a few years, maybe some decades to get on our feet financially, and we have extra. That's really where I was going with that. And to be generous with what we have and to be willing to distribute. I was not implying to not save, especially those of you young families who are just starting out. You have a ways to go. I know how that feels. And there's vehicles to replace. There's mortgages to pay. And so keep it up, keep going, and I just want to encourage you in that. I was not implying that it is wrong to save. All right, so for the message today, there's a verse that I was thinking about quite a bit, and I wanted to preach on this verse. We heard this morning to not fear, and that is correct, but there is something or someone, there is a time where we should fear. Can anyone tell me what a healthy fear is that's mentioned in the Bible over and over again? The fear of what? Of God. The fear of the Lord. And the verse that I kept thinking about was, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you think about that, I don't know if you think of wisdom in that way. I thought of Steve Edwards' children's class the other evening, of the water that was poured on the house that stood, and he had a foundation underneath that house. And I believe we could say that the foundation, or part of that foundation, is the fear of the Lord. So as I was looking at this verse, I was more going with the wisdom side of the verse, and I got to realizing how much the Bible talks about the fear of God. And so that's really where I want to go this morning, is simply talking about the fear of God. The Bible talks about not fearing other people. We are not supposed to fear people. We are not supposed to fear things. We are not supposed to fear circumstances. We are to fear God. What I'd like to look at today, what is the fear of God? How does it affect us? Can we lose the fear of God? And I'd like to look at an example in the Old Testament of someone who had the fear of God. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12, and I would like to take a look at this. Let's get a definition from the New Testament. Someone could say, well, we're living in the New Testament. We're not in the Old Testament anymore, where there was so much judgment, so many laws, so much fear. The New Testament also does talk about this. So I want to read Hebrews 12, 18 through 29. And in verse 28, we're going to get our definition of what it means to fear God. Hebrews 12, 18 through 29, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so be, as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. I should have mentioned this in the beginning. So here we have the account in Exodus 19 of Mount Sinai, where the people were supposed to wash themselves. There was a process to prepare for God speaking to the people. It says that all the people in the camp trembled, and God came down in the form of a fire on top of the mountain. And there was a smoke. It says it went up like a kiln. Imagine standing at the base of a mountain, and this mountain is billowing smoke. And it says the whole mountain trembled. And the people trembled, of course. So imagine standing at the base of a mountain and you have this trembling mountain in front of you. And they were told, if you even touch this mountain, you will die. Right? That's what we're talking about here in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There's our definition of fearing God. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, I could go into a Christian bookstore and I could find a lot of books that downplay the character of God. I could go find plenty of books that talk about the love of God. I could go find plenty of books that put God on this level of just a buddy. Just very little depth. There's plenty of material out there like that. And someone listening to this message could say that it's unbalanced. But I do believe this is a part of God that we are affected by and that we are maybe, I don't know if I want to say losing, but we are affected by our culture in this thing of the way we look at God. For the Christian, it is a reverence. When I think of the fear of God, I believe for a Christian, it is a constant awareness of the presence of God. God is with you. I don't believe it's a scared type of fear with God. As long as we are within the perimeters of the commandments of God, we fear losing God. We fear getting away from God. But we don't fear God in the way that we're scared, in the way that someone may hit you across the head with a stick. Not that kind of a fear. It's a reverent fear and an awe. We're awestruck by God. That's more what I would see with the fear of God. What happens when we fear God? I'm going to be reading quite a bit of verses. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about the fear of God. I cannot nearly get to all of them, but we're going to do a few. In Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2, I'm going to read that. One thing the fear of God does, it helps us keep the commandments of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the, here it is, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Deuteronomy 8, 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. We fear God because we love God. Normally we don't, it's hard to love someone that we're terrified of. That's a different kind of a love that the or a different kind of a fear that the non-believer experiences. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We are afraid of walking away from God. We do not want to lose that. So I'm going to give you an example here. So there's a circle. I'm calling that the safe zone. And within that circle is a whole lot of liberty. And I'll give you an example for my children. If they come out of their perimeter, and I'll use an example, if they talk disrespectfully to their mother, if they talk back to their mother, or their father, for that matter, they have a reason to fear because they have now stepped out of the safe zone. We're going to use this as an example. They've stepped out, and there is a reason to fear. And I believe that's a little bit how it is with God sometimes. God gives us commandments, and we are within the perimeter of his commandments. And we have a reason to fear if we step out of those perimeters and take our own way. In Joshua 4, 21 through 24, it says this, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, this is where the children of Israel were setting up stones for a memorial. Another thing the fear of God does, his mighty power causes others to fear him. Joshua 4, 21 through 24. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. God's power causes others to fear him. The life we live, as we go about our work, we can cause others to fear God by our life as well. Something else I found very interesting, too, is that the fear of the Lord comes upon people. And when the fear of the Lord comes upon people, it brings unity. We see this in 1 Samuel 11, chapter 7, where in the earlier days of King Saul, we don't have time to look at what all is going on here, but I want to read this verse. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And I just see that as a beautiful picture of the church. When the fear of God falls upon a church, I believe the result of that is we come together in one consent. 2 Chronicles 17:10 says, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. The fear of the Lord brought peace again. Another thing which I mentioned earlier, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I want all of you to think about someone that you can think of right now and say, that is a wise man. Think of someone that you know. That is a wise person. Now that you have the name, do they fear God? I find that so interesting. The people who are wise and full of wisdom, and you could also maybe say common sense, use the word common sense. The reason they're wise is because they fear God. A direct connection. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is where wisdom starts. You cannot have wisdom without the fear of God. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And if you want to read Proverbs, there are just verse after verse that talk about this as well. And in Job 28, verse 28, it says this. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord that is wisdom. So in Proverbs and Psalms, it says it's the beginning of wisdom. Job says the fear of the Lord is that. It's wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that Job would have endured all the tribulation that he had to go through if God would have just been a big buddy to him? Casual relationship with God. Do you think he could have stood? And I find it very interesting for Job. The very first verse in the book of Job says this. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright. One that, help me out, feared God and eschewed evil. Another way of saying that verse, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was morally complete and upright and one that feared God and departed from evil. If you want to be wise, you must begin with fearing God. Another part of fearing God is that there is a close relationship, there is a close friendship between God and those who fear him. So So we're not getting away from the relationship. We're not losing our relationship with God by fearing Him. There is a close relationship. Psalm 25, 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. And that secret there could be a close friendship. So don't think that because you fear God, that somehow your relationship with God becomes distant. It's the opposite. I really believe the closer we get to God, the more we fear Him. Another thing the fear of the Lord brings is protection. I would like for you to turn to this, Psalm 34. Beautiful psalm here. Of a promise to those who fear Him. Why don't you stand, if you can, and let's read this together. And then we may even sing that song afterwards. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord, you can help me, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You can be seated. I am sorry. Did I miss one? Verse 10. Yeah, you can be seated. I copy and paste verses into my notes here, so sorry about that. Thank you for helping me read that. Why don't we just sing that? And just think about what that's actually saying. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Thank you for that. Psalm 33:18 has this to say, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. If you want the eye of the Lord upon you, and if you want His protection, if you want to be in the safe zone, we need to fear Him. There's also a verse that talks about the fear of God bringing confidence. Another thing I find very interesting about the fear of God is that when there is revival in the heart of people, the fear of God comes down upon them. Why is that? Why is that when a person gets right with God, they have the fear of God? I was talking with someone this past week. He was an atheist up until 3-4 months ago. And he was so excited. He was telling me his testimony. And how he used to think, he used to mock Christians. And all at once the lights came on and he said, I see it. I understand now. And it's amazing that the fear of God comes upon those who repent and give their life to Him. There's a direct connection between revival and the fear of the Lord. Something for you to think about. Is it possible to lose the fear of the Lord? I believe it is. And I believe that we need to guard against losing it. Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Let me tell you something. If you don't have the fear of God, you're going to do whatever you want to do. If you have the fear of God, you're going to do what God wants. Isaiah 63:17 says, O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. Jeremiah 2:19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. And my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. It is possible to not have the Lord, the fear of the Lord within us. That is a possibility. Jeremiah 5:21 through 25. You can turn to this. Jeremiah 5:21 through 25. Again, we're talking about a people who have left God, a people who are doing their own thing. They have ears and they don't hear. Jeremiah 5:21, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, you could add without wisdom, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not? Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? Pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. A revolting and a rebellious heart. I can assure you that the fear of God is not in any rebellious heart. That says that very clearly here. People who want to do their own thing, want to go their own way, somewhere along the line have lost the fear of God. How do we lose that? Can we lose that? Have you ever felt like life is just noisy? Life is just loud. There's so much noise. Before I was a Christian, I lived in fear. I lived in the scared kind of fear. I knew exactly what I needed to do, and I knew exactly the life I was living, and I knew I was not right with God, and I was terrified. But you know one thing that pacified that deep conviction within my heart? One thing that helped was to just think about one fun thing to the next. If I could just drown that out with something else, it helped that nagging conviction. So much noise, distractions. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about where the seed was planted, and it was choked up by the cares of this life, riches, cares of this life. Which is another thing that can choke up where we don't bear fruit and it can drown out the fear of God. When was the last time you were quiet with God? When was the last time that you sat down and just listened to God? Are you uncomfortable doing that? Are you uncomfortable sitting there having no phone, no computer, in silence? Is that possible for us to do that? Or do we become so used to the noise that we're actually uncomfortable if we don't always have something going. And I actually find myself in that situation sometimes. We're just at home tonight. It's kind of boring. Can we go somewhere? Do we always have to have noise? I believe that's one way to drown out conviction if it's there. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 10. I want to look at another place in the New Testament where it talks about fear, and this is Jesus' own words. And it's interesting, this is a good passage to figure out what we should fear and what we should not fear. Matthew 10, 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid, that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If there's someone that comes up behind you with a knife, and the intention is to stab you and to take your life, Jesus is saying, don't fear them. The only thing they can do is destroy the body. That's the worst they can do. You don't even need to be afraid of that. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So here we're not supposed to fear life, but we are to fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And I believe if we could all look into hell for 60 seconds or less, we would probably never be the same. If we could see what hell is like for 5 seconds, you would never be the same. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I want to look, in closing here, I want to look at Joseph. Genesis 39. Please turn to that. This will be the last scripture we'll be turning to. Joseph is a tremendous example of a person who feared God. And he left, Genesis 39, verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph, day by day, this was not a one-time thing. She did this day after day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Notice that. See, I'm not even going to be with her. I'm not even going to get close to her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Joseph had no church. Joseph had no accountability group that was going to ask him the next week how he was doing. Joseph had no internet filter. It was very accessible. He had no parents to to look after him, to be accountable to. Can someone tell me what he had? He feared God. He could have said, "This is unfair. God, why did you allow this to happen to me?" He could have played the victim game. He could have made an excuse for his wrong. Somewhere Joseph was taught the fear of God. Somewhere he got it. And you know, Joseph never needed a counseling center. Joseph never needed to reap from that year after year because of wisdom. Joseph was a wise young man. It says somewhere there, he was a good-looking man. He was handsome. He had a lot of things going for him. He had something that I want. He feared God more than those other things. In closing, I just want you to remember this. The fear of God comes when there is revival and leaves when a heart becomes cold. Wisdom starts with the fear of God. And having the proper fear of God will change the way we live and the decisions that we make. Let's kneel for prayer.